appreciate the spirit and the theme of the meeting here in Baptist Friends. When Pastor Turner asked me to come and to preach, I was honored and began praying and just seeking the Lord's direction as to where to go. And honestly, I had about 100 different directions. And after Pastor Boyle preached, the Lord settled my heart here in the book of Colossians, chapter number 4. I've appreciated all the message. Pastor Arbo, thank you so much. A hard heart. Sometimes we can get so busy in the work, and even sometimes the struggles and the administration of things that our hearts can become hardened and even cold in the ministry. And I just appreciated that message, even in recalling God's blessings. And God has been so good to us in Vernon, and I just had to think of just the what is God is doing now and where it began, and we have come so far, and I believe in such a short amount of time, and it's encouraging. And then Pastor Mackay, thank you so much. God gives much grace, and that principle of abundance, boy, we need it, don't we? We need it as we serve, because you can become very quickly depleted in service, and we need that grace. And then looking at the godly man, what is the hope really for Canada? What is the hope for the United States? It's really not going to be found in a federal election, a provincial election, a municipal election. Really, it's going to be found in Jesus Christ. It's going to be found in his people proclaiming Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And that is the wonderful truth. And I appreciate the emphasis on the godly man. And that's where I settled in this message for this afternoon or for this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, Colossians chapter number 4, want to pick up reading in verse number 7. The Bible says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister, son to Barnabas, as touching whom ye receive the commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. Verse number 11. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God. And I want you to notice this last phrase, which have been a comfort unto me. Verse number 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. I believe there is no greater calling than being a servant for Jesus Christ. While some work and labor to make a name for themselves, maybe to pad their bank account or for various reasons, Paul even said those in ministry, they serve some to add contention and add to his bonds and some for vain glory. I believe we need to strive to be a good servant of Jesus Christ. And as I look at these names and I examine the life of Paul, it is no question that the Apostle Paul was a great servant of God. Many times we read through the book of Acts and we go, wow, look at the church planting that Paul did and look at the sufferings Paul went through and look at the churches that Paul helped and we look and we rejoice with what God did through Paul. God used him to pen 2/3 of the New Testament, plant many churches, preach to kings and to servants alike. But often overlooked, and maybe I'm just guilty of this, but I believe often overlooked are the many of Paul's friends and fellow laborers that we read about all through the New Testament. We read about these men that stood alongside Paul, encouraged him, strengthened him, helped him along his journey, began serving inside the churches that Paul helped to plant. These were just men and women who got involved and began to serve, and they made a difference in their service. But I want you to notice that phrase that we read in verse number 11. Paul looks and he says, which have been a comfort unto me. Now, I want you to understand something, that most of these men that we're going, and we're going to just do a snapshot of these fellas here that we read about in Colossians 4. Many of these men didn't travel with Paul 100% of the time. We realize that Tychicus went here and there, and Onesimus went back to Colossae, and these men were scattered. In fact, come 2 Timothy, the Bible says, only Luke is with me. And yet Paul remembered all of these other men, these fellow servants, these co-laborers, and said, these men, although we're not together, they're a comfort to me. Paul looked around and he remembered what was going on in Ephesus, and he remembered what was going on in Colossae, and he remembered in Hierapolis and Laodicea and Corinth, and he said, boy, these men that are serving, you're a comfort unto me. Because Paul was in bounds. He was in prison. He couldn't do, really, and didn't have the freedom to do the work maybe as these other men who were at that time free in the cities that they were serving in. And Paul said, I am thankful for some friends. I am thankful for some men who are willing to serve. And he said, it really brought a comfort to his heart. And I want to encourage you, whether you're here at Anchor Baptist Church or at Metro Baptist Church, whatever church you're a part of, men, as God has called you into ministry, as I look around, and I'm young enough and have been serving at whether it be Beaver Valley Baptist Church or Castlegard, to remember when Pastor Mackay was on deputation. And I do. I was 12 years old, but I remember very clearly when Brother Mackay came through on deputation. And I have to say that through those years, as I didn't get to spend a lot of time with Pastor Mackay, really I've got to visit the church maybe once or twice, but when I think and I remember about what's going on at Metro Baptist Church, you know what encourages me? It is. It's an encouragement. When I think about what happened at Anchor Baptist Church, or Pastor Boyle has been an instrumental part of my life, and in particular, my wife's life. And although I don't get down to Spokane, and I don't get to maybe be at Faith Baptist Church a whole lot, particularly anymore now that we're in Vernon, when I hear and when I think upon what is going on at Faith Baptist Church, it encourages me. And I'm thankful today for friends and fellow laborers in ministry as they labor. And Paul said, boy, it's a comfort unto me. He said, it's something that's encouraged me. And I think that is the wonderful theme of this Baptist Friends. We don't get to see each other very often, do we? Maybe once, maybe twice a year, maybe not even that. And yet Paul, as he writes here, he says, boy, guys, I want you to remember, you're making a difference to your service, and it encourages me. I'm just going to highlight some of these men. But can I say this as we come into, I'm going to leave Tychicus till last. I'm not skipping this fella. I'm going to come to him, but I want to save him for last. I really believe that effective ministry is grown in a unified teamwork within the local church. So if you're a member here at Anchor Baptist Church or at Metro Baptist, I don't know where you're attending right now as church family, but I want you to remember that I really believe that effective ministry is grown out of a unified teamwork within the local church. Just everyone doing their part with the gifts and calling that God has given you. And that no area of service is considered small or insignificant with God. We read that and we can go through the book of 1 Corinthians and understand the importance of each of the members of the body. But likewise, men, although we don't get to see each other very often, I want you to understand that where you serve makes a difference, even in those many, many miles or sometimes hours away. And we can make a difference, because Christ is all in all, and serving with Jesus Christ makes us co-laborers and fellow servants in an eternal work that will one day be fully realized when we're in heaven with Jesus Christ. We'll understand, and men, you'll understand the influence you've had on younger preachers. Brother Mackay, your faithfulness there has made an impact in my life. Pastor Boyle in Spokane. Just got to meet Pastor Arbo, but I knew of Park City Baptist Church, Pastor Turner. You're making an impact in younger preachers, even though you may not get to see these younger preachers very often. Let's look at some of these men and how they made a difference and why they were a comfort to Paul. How did these men encourage Paul in the ministry? I want to look first in verse number 9. I want to look at the man Onesimus. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I believe he was a comfort to Paul because Paul looked at this man who was once a runaway slave and once who was, the Bible says, unprofitable, but now is profitable. Here was a man that simply served with gratitude. He had a proper motive in his service. Philemon 1:3 says, "Whom I would have retained unto me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel." Here is a man that simply served with gratitude. He understood where he was and where God had brought him, and he was willing just to come alongside Paul and serve with a motive of gratitude. He was so thankful that Paul was willing to impart unto him the gospel, and this man trusted Christ, and boy, what a difference it made in his life. And Paul remembered this man, Onesimus. He said, here is someone that just came alongside, and he was willing just to serve with a grateful and a joyful spirit. I want to remind you here, church family, I think one of the greatest ways you can get involved in service is have a motive of gratitude. Boy, I am thankful today for where God has called me to minister. Pastor here today, I believe that you can make a difference, and it is a comfort unto others, even though we don't even see it. It is a joy and a comfort to others in service when I get to meet other men of God who are serving for 30, 40, 50 years in ministry, and they're just grateful to be a part of God's work. It is a joy. It's not a drudgery. Every time they step behind the pulpit, there's a fervency, there's a life, there's a vibrancy. And you know what? It's exciting and it's a comfort. It's an encouragement. And I'm thankful for friends who serve with a spirit of gratitude. Paul said that. He said, I am thankful that God counted me worthy, putting me into the ministry. And I hope, Pastor, that you still serve with a grateful spirit, even though sometimes things don't go according to plan. In fact, I find that most things I plan don't go according to plan. But I'm thankful how God works things out, and we can sit back and with a spirit of gratefulness go, look at what God has done. I hope that never grows cold in your heart, a grateful spirit in service, because there are others that look in and go, wow, look at what God is doing. Boy, it's an encouragement. Paul said that Onesimus was a comfort to him. Remember where Paul was. He was in bonds at this time. And he looked out and he said, there are others that are still serving joyfully. That's encouraging. There was Onesimus. He served with gratitude. I want you to see another fellow here. His name is Aristarchus. The Bible says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. What about this man? Not much is known about him. You search him in the New Testament. There's really not a whole lot that we can learn. But I think one of the things that we can learn, Paul said, boy, Aristarchus, you're a comfort unto me. You're an encouragement to me, because he was willing to serve through trials. He was willing to continue to serve through trials in all circumstances. Here is this man. He was, the Bible, all he says that he was a fellow prisoner, probably with Paul. And yet he served with Paul, and he continued to encourage Paul. And Paul said, Aristarchus, you're a comfort unto me, because he was willing to serve in all circumstances and in trials. We understand that many left. John Mark left. We're going to look a little bit about him. We know Demas later on left, having loved this present world, but not Aristarchus. He said, I understand it's not going to go according to plan. He said, I know I'm a fellow prisoner, and yet he just continued to serve the Lord. Listen, if one thing I've learned in 7.5 years in Vernon and 8 years serving in Castlegar, we understand that it's not always easy. And yet, as one of the young men preached, he said, you know, a just man falleth 7 times, and yet what? Rises up again. I am thankful. I don't rejoice in your trials, so please don't misunderstand me when I say this. But you know, when you see a church family and maybe a friend, a fellow laborer, go through a trial and yet come out with the same gratitude and joy, maybe even to a greater extent than how they entered that trial, it's a comfort unto me. Boy, if God can use them and look how God carried them through, I think I can really make it. Boy, look at, if God can provide this for so-and-so, and look at what they provided here, and I serve the same God. Hey, I think we can make it, church family. And it was a comfort to Paul. Paul said, man, here's Aristarchus, a fellow prisoner, and if he is willing to serve through trials, then hey, so can I. Because God has not given him any more or any less than what he has given me in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit of God. And I don't know where you're going. I don't know where you're. Maybe you're in the midst of that trial. Maybe you feel like Aristarchus and you're in the midst of that circumstance. Could I encourage you to maybe get around someone else who perhaps have been through that and seek their encouragement? Maybe sit with them and ask them to pray with you and to help guide you through that situation. But can I tell you this? I'm so thankful for those who have served through trials and are still serving today. Because we all, unfortunately, can probably count how many aren't. And as much as we rejoice for those who continue through trials, we mourn when others fall away. In British Columbia, in the Pacific Northwest, we could count community after community where there was once a church, a group of people serving God that they're no longer there. They went through a trial and they quit. I'm so thankful for the Aristarchus in this room who continue to serve through trials, because I'm here to tell you, it encourages this young preacher. It encourages me when I can look around and say, look, they've made it through 30, 40, 50 years of ministry and they're still serving today. Thank you, Aristarchus. Can I see a third man here? He says, and Marcus, sister, son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandment, if he come unto you, receive him. I believe as I've read and kind of done a little bit of study on this man, Marcus, I believe this to be the same man, also called John, John Mark, or Mark, that we read about in the book of Acts. This was a man who served in spite of past failures. This was a man who served in forgiveness. We know that this man traveled with Paul in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 13. We read, unfortunately, later on in chapter 15, somewhere in between those two chapters, he left, he went back. I don't know what the situation was. The Bible doesn't give us any details as to why he left, but he departed and went back home. Later on, we read here in Colossians, but particularly in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul says to Timothy, he says, hey, bring Mark, because he's profitable unto me for the ministry. I'm reminded of this man who was willing to serve in spite of past failures. If you've been saved for any length of time, perhaps you've faced failures, setbacks, and perhaps like John Mark have turned back at one point and said, you know what, I just don't know about this whole serving God thing. I'm thankful for those who have come and they said, you know what, I can be restored in service and get back to where God would have me to serve. We've all gone through those seasons of life where perhaps we have come to a difficult time where we have even asked ourselves the question, is God truly done with me? I believe Marcus reminds us and John Mark reminds us that restoration is possible. Here was a man who turned back on Paul, but he realized his sin and his error, and I don't know where it was, but we read later on that he was still useful in service. Can I encourage you, church member, maybe pastor here today, I don't know where you're at, but maybe you feel kind of like a John Mark. Can I remind you that you can still be useful in the service of our King because restoration is possible? How do I know that? It's based on his character. I'm so glad today we read in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17, he says, "But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not." You see, restoration is possible because of the character of God. I'm glad that God doesn't just wait for the first failure and then give you the old boot and say, well, you're just going to be sidelined now. That God says, I can take this vessel, I can mold it, I can restore it, and I can make them useful again in service. And I want to encourage you not just to give up and quit on God, but maybe it is going to come to a place of repentance and restoration. And maybe you, just based upon his character, would come today and say, Lord, I know this is what I've done, or maybe we're allowing a past failure or a regret to keep us from serving God today. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. You see, if we allow our past to dictate our present, we'll have a very bleak future. But if we allow and we understand that there is forgiveness and restoration because of the wonderful work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be useful again in service. Yes, I understand it might be in different areas or with qualifications, but that makes no difference to God. He can take a broken life and make them useful for him. And I want to encourage you that restoration is possible based upon his character, but it's also based upon his promises. We read in 1 John 1:9 that as we come and we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful thing it is that there is restoration in service. And I believe Marcus reminds us of that. And Paul said that was a comfort unto him. It encouraged him. So many times when another brother maybe struggles or whatever it might be, it has been said that many times we have been guilty of shooting our wounded instead of taking someone and being gracious unto them and demonstrating to them a Christ-like love so that they might be restored into service. I'm thankful for those, even in our church, that have come just recently and have come through. It just breaks my heart. And God, for whatever reason, has allowed our church and has allowed me to minister unto some folks that have suffered some pretty great hurt. And they said, Pastor, all I want to do is serve. And we've been able to work with them and encourage them and you know, maybe lead them to some areas that they need to deal with and yet bring them to a place where they can serve. And it's a joy to watch some of these folks and the joy they have. And you know what? That's a comfort unto me. That's an encouragement to me. I want to look at another man very quickly as our time is fleeting. I want to read in verse number 11. Here's another man that was a comfort to Paul. When Paul thought of him, he said, this man is a comfort unto me. He's an encouragement unto me. His name is in verse 11, and Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. Practically nothing is known about this man except these 11 words, and yet in these 11 words is recorded an eternal testimony for this man, Justice. Really, this is the only time he's mentioned. And yet Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, made mention of him in Scripture that this man, Jesus, this man, Justice, was an encouragement. He was a comfort unto me. What was it about this man as I thought about Justice? Why did Paul look at him? He goes, man, now here's a man that was an encouragement to me. I believe this man simply served in obscurity. He didn't need the preeminence. He didn't need prominence. He didn't need position. He just simply wanted to get busy serving where God had called him to serve. And Paul said, now there's a man that is willing to serve in obscurity. And he said, that man's a comfort unto me. We know that Justice was willing to serve in obscurity, to serve not for recognition, but for the glory of God. And it encouraged the Apostle Paul. This was a friend. Remember, these not only were laborers and fellow servants, but I believe that these were Paul's closest friends. And when Paul was locked up in prison, he thought, oh man, Justice, he's still going on. We don't know anything about it, but he said, thank you, Justice. Thank you, Jesus, for serving. He said, these are of the circumcision. When many of the circumcision were trying to kill Paul, this man was serving alongside with Paul. He said, man, I am so thankful for Justice. Don't know where he is. I hope he's doing well, but the thought of Justice and him serving was an encouragement to him. During World War II, England needed to increase its production of coal. Winston Churchill called together labor leaders to enlist their support. At the end of the presentation, he asked them to picture in their minds a parade which he knew would be held in Piccadilly Circus after the war. First, he said, would come the sailors who had kept the vital sea lanes open. Then would come the soldiers who had come home from Dunkirk and then gone on to defeat Rommel in Africa. Then would come the pilots who had driven off the Luftwaffe from the sky. He said, last of all, would come a long line of sweat-stained, soot-streaked men in miners' caps. Someone would cry from the crowd, where were you during the critical days of our struggle? And from the throats of 10,000 would come the answer, we were deep in the earth with our faces to the coal. Not all the jobs in the church are prominent, not all are glamorous, but it is often the people with their faces to the coal who helped the church accomplish its mission. You see, if it wasn't for these that got down into the mines and produced the raw material that was needed for these others who were on the front line, those pilots, those sailors, those men in the trenches wouldn't have had the equipment and the resources they needed to defeat the enemy. It was these that were stuck in the mines and picking away and coming out with coal lung. These were the men that were in support of the frontline workers. And I'm here to tell you, if you're a Justice or a Jesus today, you're as vital and important in the work of God, and you are a comfort unto your pastor. You are a comfort in the work of God. When those who are fighting the Rommels, they go, I'm glad that there's a whole army of soot-stained workers providing the resources that I need to accomplish the work that God has called us to. And that was the man, Justice. We don't know anything about him, but he was a comfort to Paul because Paul knew he'd be where he was supposed to be with his face to the coal, serving where God had called him to serve. Listen, our churches may not be 300, 400, 500, 1,000. It may be 10 or 20, but that is no less significant to God than that church that is ministering in another capacity. Listen, Beaver Valley Baptist Church was about 75, if you count all the dogs and cats and canaries, really at our climax. But God took a little tiny church, humanly speaking, there in a little community of Montrose of 1,200 people, and has produced multiple pastors, missionaries, pastors' wives, and they have done more as a church of 70 than some churches of 700 because they simply kept their faces to the coal. Do not get discouraged in the work of God because there are other men and other churches going, look at what's going on over there. I think we can go on another year, another 10 years, another 20 years. And that was the blessing of Justice. That was the blessing of this man that Paul said, you are a comfort unto me, Justice. Thank you. Thank you for serving. I'm going to give you two more and we'll be done. I'll give you three more. I need to give you three. And I'll move along. He said, boy, I'm thankful. These only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God. Paul said, man, you've been a comfort to me. Then he comes down to Epaphras. He said, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always. And how did Epaphras serve? Why was Epaphras such an encouragement to Paul? Because he was a man that served in prayer. He said, laboring fervently for you in prayers that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. See, Epaphras encouraged Paul, and he was a comfort to Paul because Paul knew he could always get a hold of Epaphras, and he knew that he'd be praying for him. I think one of the greatest ways we can be a friend, even though we don't get to see each other, but maybe once or twice a year, maybe even less than that, is to know that there are other men and other churches and other states and provinces that are praying for the various ministries represented here. I can't tell you how many times I've got an email from some fellow. I haven't seen him in forever. Pastor Umber there at Somerville Baptist Church in Oregon. For years, he would just randomly email me, "Hey, I just want you to, I'm praying for you today." That was the Epaphras, the man that was simply willing to serve and in the mighty area of prayer. I love the theme, and brother, I was actually had prepared to preach a message, worshiping in prayer. I believe one of the highest forms of worship is prayer. When we come and we just fall on our face before God, and we worship him as we bring exaltation to him, we bring our intercessions for people, our petitions of our heart. I believe it's the greatest form of worship, and this was Epaphras. Epaphras encouraged Paul. I want you to see, he prayed constantly. He said, always laboring. He prayed fervently. He said, laboring. Isn't prayer hard work? Prayer is hard work. And he labored in that. And he made it a point to pray for these churches. We see in Laodicea, Hierapolis, here in Colossae. He prayed personally. He said he always prayed. He labored fervently. The Bible says here, he fervently prayed for you. He prayed personally for people. He prayed definitely. He prayed definitely for you in prayers that you may stand perfect. It was a specific thing that he was praying for. He said, I'm praying that you'll stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And he prayed sacrificially. He said, for I bear him record that he hath great zeal for you. He prayed sacrificially for these folks. And when Paul thought of Epaphras, he said, you're a comfort unto me because I know you're praying for me. There's no greater way that you can be a Baptist friend than to be a praying friend. This was Epaphras. Epaphras was one that was willing to stand, as it is described, between the dead and the living, and to simply offer prayers. You got to remember, these churches were hurting. They were being persecuted. They were being scattered abroad. They were being mistreated. The saints in Jerusalem were poor. Their lands were being taken away. They had no way of really hardly supporting themselves. But there was Epaphras. And they knew that this man would pray for them fervently and with great zeal. Epaphras was a great man of prayer. Can I give you this in verse number 14? And then he said, Luke, the beloved physician. Oh, Luke, I believe, is a comfort to Paul because he simply served faithfully. Luke was just a bulwark. I believe he was Paul's personal physician. When Paul was left for dead, I believe it was Luke that kind of picked him up and maybe bound up those wounds. I think it was Luke that maybe even helped as Paul, is maybe his eyesight, many believe his eyesight was going, he was going blind. That would have been Luke. We read through all of Paul's ministry from beginning to end. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, it comes down to this. Only Luke is with me. Not that these others forsook him, but like we said, they were scattered abroad. They were just serving. They were a comfort to Paul, even though they weren't in Paul's presence. But then there was the man Luke. I'm so thankful for the men, whether you are here at Anchor Baptist Church. I got a man right now, Daryl Brodaway in Vernon. He's taking care of all of this building situation for me. He's reorganized our entire children's ministry. We're going to be moving it completely off-site to a Century 21 building. I mean, we're getting things done. I'm here. He's allowed me to preach with freedom and without all the stuff in my mind. I know Daryl's there, and he'll take care of things until I get back. Only Luke is with me. He said, others are gone, but thank God for the Lukes. Thank God for those that'll just come alongside, hey, preacher, let me take that from you. Let me come along and be a friend when you're hurting. How many times was Paul hurting and only Luke was with him? Could you imagine some of the conversations him and Paul must have had? Luke, man, I'm hurting. He said, don't worry, Paul, I'll take care of you. He said, Luke, I don't know, that last stone, man, when that hit me, that hurt. He said, don't worry, Paul, I'll be here with you. I'll get you into the city. I'll take care of you. He said, Luke, I don't know. He said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ. And yet maybe it was Luke that prompted, he said, nevertheless, it is more needful for me to abide with you. I'm just saying, thank God for the Lukes. Thank God for a friend like Luke that would stick with Paul through thick and thin. Boy, we need Lukes. I want to give you this last fella here, and it's back in verse number 8. I've got to tell you, the first time I ever heard this man's name spoken, it was Pastor Boyle. I don't even know if you remember, Pastor, but he preached a message on Tychicus. And it stuck with me all these years. I don't even know when it was, but I just remember it. But I left this man for last because I think it's a fitting theme to the Baptist friends. Tychicus was one who was willing to serve to encourage. We do get a lot of nasty emails, don't we, preachers? We get those nasty cards. Pastor, I really like you, but I'm going to leave, and here's the whole list of reasons why, and you kind of go, ugh. And why do they give it on Sundays? Now, what's wrong with Monday? You know, or why when you're just going up to preach, you get that letter? I'll never understand it, but here is a man that was willing to serve to encourage. This was a noble purpose. Read about him here. He says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose. And here it is, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. He says, I'm sending him for this one purpose. I want him to know what's going on because I know Tychicus will encourage you. He will comfort you. He will help you through this time. And Tychicus was one who served with a noble purpose. Paul's testimony, letter A of him, he was a beloved brother. In Ephesians 6, 21 and 24, we read here in Colossians as well, he was a beloved brother, someone that Paul cared for deeply. He was a faithful minister. Help, Lord, for the godly man Cephas and the faithful. But not Tychicus. He was the faithful man. He was a fellow servant with Paul. He was a trusted servant. Paul could send him wherever Paul needed, and he knew Tychicus would get the job done. And Tychicus would be one to go and encourage. What was some of his service? In Acts 20, verse 4, we know that he traveled with Paul on many of his journeys. There was Tychicus. He traveled with Paul. I want you to see Colossians and Ephesians. He traveled for Paul. If Paul needed him here, that's where Tychicus would go. If Paul needed him here, that's where he would go. He preached for Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He was a messenger for Paul. But I believe the greatest of all of these acts of service that Tychicus performed, he was simply an encourager to Paul. Could I encourage you men to make a point of finding someone else that you on a regular basis can simply encourage in ministry? Maybe some of you, I'm thankful for my pastor, Pastor Klein, Pastor Stastny. I call him on a regular basis. Pastor Boyle, thank you for being an encouragement to me. Thank you for being an encouragement to my wife. I'm thankful for Tychicus because it reminds me of the importance of encouragement. Because you just never know what a simple word of encouragement will do for someone else, even though you may not even know what they're struggling with. On May 24th, 1965, a 13.5-foot boat slipped quietly out of the marina of Falmouth, Massachusetts. It would be the smallest craft ever to make the voyage across the Atlantic Ocean to England. The Tinkerbell was piloted by Robert Manry, a copy editor for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, who felt that 10 years at a desk was enough boredom for a while, so he took a leave of absence to fulfill his secret dream. Manry was afraid, not of the ocean, but of all who would try to talk him out of the trip. So he didn't share this with many, just some relatives and especially his wife, Virginia. The trip was not pleasant. He spent nights of sleeplessness trying to cross the shipping lanes. Weeks at sea caused his food to become tasteless. Loneliness, that age-old monster of the deep, led to terrifying hallucinations. His rudder broke 3 times. Storms swept him overboard. And had it not been for the rope that he had tied around his waist, he would have never been able to pull himself back on board. Finally, after 78 days alone at sea, he sailed into Falmouth, Cornwall, England. During those nights, he wondered about what he would do once he arrived. He expected simply to check into a hotel, eat dinner alone, and then the next morning see if perhaps the Associated Press might be interested in his story. Was he in for a surprise? Word of his approach had spread far and wide. To his amazement, 300 vessels with horns blasting escorted the Tinkerbell into port. And 40,000 people stood screaming and cheering him to shore. Robert Manry, the copy editor turned dreamer, became an overnight hero. His story was told around the world. But Robert couldn't have done it alone. Standing on the dock was even a greater hero, Virginia. She had encouraged him on when others would have discouraged him. Out of all the people there cheering him on, there was one that he was fixated upon. And it was the one that said, "You can do this, Robert. Don't listen to all of the critics." Listen, in ministry, we have a lot of critics. Everyone seems to have a better way of accomplishing something than what maybe God has called you to do. And pastors, can I remind you that there are other men in ministry who have just as many critics, and it might be you and that simple word of encouragement, say, "Hey, listen, you can do it. Just ignore these that would rather kick the feet from underneath you. Go on for Jesus." Boy, we need some more Tychicus out there. We need some more men and women who will come alongside their pastor and say, "Pastor, I understand that there are a lot of critics out there. He said, but I want to encourage you. I'm praying for you." He said, "Pastor, is there anything I can do to encourage? Is there anything that you need? Pastor, I just want to come alongside. Can I be your Luke when you're hurting? Can I be your Tychicus when you're discouraged?" You see, church family, that's what a Baptist friend is. Pastors from all over the Pacific Northwest here, I think it's a great and a lofty area of service to be an encouragement one to another. These were Paul's friends. Paul describes them as fellow laborers. But I want you to know, in the hardest times of Paul's life, he thought of these men, his friends, and they encouraged him. I don't know which one you most can identify with, but I believe each one of these men have some characteristics, and they could be the answer to the prayer, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, and the faithful among the children of men." God's always going to leave a remnant. This was Paul's little group, his remnant, to encourage him to accomplish some things that I don't think Paul even fully understood were possible. Would you be that kind of friend in ministry?